give me 10 good reasons to exercise, and maybe I'll actually do it. You got it, but instead we're going to give you over 100. All this and much, much more today on episode 95 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. Now, Jeff, before we get started here, we have a correction to make. What is it?
That's right. I'm always concerned about getting things right. In show number 77, we talked about the show The Biggest Loser, and we listed all of the good things about it and all of the bad things about it. And one of the things that we mentioned was that they do too much exercise. We said that they train the contestants about 5 hours per day. And we're saying this is just not sustainable. People are getting injuries. When they leave The Biggest Loser show, they go home and they're expected to do half of that, so 2.5 hours per day. Well, I guess we were wrong. It turns out that Jillian Michaels was on the Dr. Phil show last week, and she says they train a minimum of 6 to 8 hours per day. So that means 56 hours. So I guess our worries about overtraining, well, I guess they're even more of a concern.
Yeah, it's more than it's a full-time job. It's just insane amount of working out.
So when they leave the show and their metabolisms are so slow because of the quick weight loss, they need to work out about half of that. So they're still putting in 25 or 30 hours of working out per week just to maintain their new weights. Nobody wants to do that much work just to maintain their weight. Maintaining your weight should not be that hard. And when you lose weight that quickly, yeah, you damage your metabolism and you suffer for it for years.
Yeah, there have been some articles I've read here in the past couple of months that some of the contestants have gone home and gained the weight back. And now there's one guy in particular, and I don't recall who he is. I think he was one of the winners or the runner-ups. And he had gained back all the weight, and he was, again, going on this diet, and he was going to lose the weight. And the way he was going to do it was to do this insane workout schedule again. Obviously, he's setting himself up for another yo-yo session there with maybe losing some weight and then gaining it back again, because you can't sustain that kind of workout schedule.
Well, we talked about people's bodies going into starvation mode, and clearly the reason why they continue to lose weight is because their bodies are in starvation mode, but they're burning such an incredible amount of calories per day, there's just no way that they can't lose weight. They're just using up so much energy. Not good for their body, but it is a weight loss show, not a fat loss show. But anyways, Russ, speaking of fat loss, how are you doing?
Yeah, let's go back to me. It's all about me, Jeff. Yeah, my weigh-in this week, 216.2. Now, I believe that's down 1.8 pounds from the last show. So, no, not bad.
You know, and I just like saying week after week, you're always hitting new records.
I feel it getting tougher. I can feel it. You know, it's like the pounds are coming off, but they're coming off just, they're fighting. They want to stay on. But I'm still going to keep it up. I'm doing my double day cardio, and, you know, I'm just kind of getting that, really working as much as I can to within reason here, and also keeping the diet real tight, and just get to that goal.
So how are your goals this week?
Well, eating goals, I'm gonna say it was about a 7 out of 10. Not perfect, but it's doing all right. Exercise goals, probably good 7, maybe 8 out of 10. A lot of good working out, really having a good time with it. So my motivation for the week, just a 10 out of 10.
All right, well, that sounds good. Let's move into our email and comment section, and we're going to cover a lot more than what we normally do, but we're going to answer them a little shorter than what we normally do. So the questions that we're going to answer today are fairly similar to ones that we've answered in the past, but we seem to have a lot of these every single week. And we know that not everyone has managed to listen back to all of our shows, so here's these quick answers, and as I said, at least quick for us, hopefully, for the newer listeners, and these should be a good review for everyone else.
Yep, the first one is from listener Kate, and she wrote here, I just started listening and I love the show. Thanks for all your work. In the past 2 years, I've morphed myself from a size 26 full-figure woman to a size 16, a less full-figure woman. I don't really need to go into how a 25-year-old gained that much weight. I have just, as of late, the cold winter, had a problem focusing on my workouts. Everything is, like, interesting once or twice, then it is dull. Before the winter, I tried to start running. I liked it. Loved it, actually, but it's too cold and slippery to run here in the winter. What can I do to keep my indoor workouts interesting while I start to relearn how to run? Am I the only one who gets bored by workouts?
So the basic question is that you found that you love to run for exercise in the summer, but during the winter, you're forced inside, and it sounds like you get bored on any type of cardio machine, no matter what it is. So you basically have three choices. Number one, you keep working out outside in the winter. You run all year round in the cold, no matter what. It does take a lot more work and preparation, but it can be done. In Calgary, where I live, I remember doing a group run one Sunday morning with a Roadrunners Club, and it was minus 26 degrees Celsius or minus 15 Fahrenheit, and there was a ton of people at the run. Everyone was in many layers, and most had some sort of spikes on their shoes. My winter running shoes at the time had very short screws that had screwed into the treads of the shoes. If you find that you really love running outside, this just might be the simplest solution. Your second choice would be to keep training inside on the stuff that you really don't like to do. This isn't the preferable solution because in reality, most people will not stick to it. The only way that most people can do this is when they have definite goals. If you go to the gym and then you come out of the change room and look for the least boring exercise machine to try, you are not going to have a good workout. However, if you have a plan of exactly what you want to do and what you want to get done in a certain amount of time and compare that workout to previous workouts, you'll do much better. And another trick while training inside might be to distract yourself. For example, I often see people on stationary bikes reading a book or magazine, listening to music or podcasts, or just watching TV. So the final thing you can do, our third choice, would be to find something else that you truly like to do that's active. It doesn't have to be an exercise machine. The truth of the matter is that if you find something that you like, you will do it more often and get better results. It doesn't have to be the best workout and burn the most calories per hour, but it is better than nothing. If you are a more social person, look at all of these great fitness classes. There's so many different ones out there. Everything from yoga to Tai Bo to Pilates to these dance Zumba classes. So in reality, it's really just that simple. You can either keep running outside because you love it, even if the weather isn't great. You can continue to train indoors and use strategies to make your workouts more motivating or try to distract yourself. Or you can find something that's active that you will truly enjoy and do that instead. So those are the three choices. Simply choose one or all of them.
Yeah, you know, it's nice that I don't have that problem here in Southern California, really. I am running out there and working outside in December and January and not having a problem. But for large portion, well, most of Canada and large portion of the United States, I mean, that's just not possible. You have to get indoors and you have to find a way to motivate yourself to do that. All right, well, let's get into item number two, and it is from Amanda. And she wrote here, "Hey, Russ and Jeff, because of your podcast, I'm happy to report that since January 1st, I've lost a total of 20 pounds by learning to eat and exercise like the thinner person I want to become." That's awesome. "I think that most of my success is due to using the Lose It app on my iPhone meal after meal. At first, I wasn't keeping track of the nutrients and was surprised to learn that on some days, I was eating about 38% fats, 46% carbs, and only 15% protein. It was only once I began to eat less processed and fast food that the percentage of fat in my diet has decreased. Is there an optimal range I should be aiming for each week? Will eating foods high in fat really be that harmful since I have been successful in losing weight? I'm 40 years old and have an additional 50 to 60 pounds to lose and don't expect to meet my goal for another 12 months or so. Thank you all for your wonderful information."
Well, the simple answer is that 95% of the population has no real idea of what percentage of protein, fat, and carbs they are actually eating every day. But now there's all of these great food tracking programs that are online, and now even on people's phones, that it is so easy to find out now. When you look at all the diet plans out there, what really makes them different is the ratio of the macronutrients that they recommend. Studies have shown that all diet plans will work if you follow them to the letter as long as they have a caloric deficit. Now, that doesn't mean that all people will be able to stick with these diets, though. There are differences in people with regard to how much of each category they should be eating. So, for example, a high-protein, low-carb diet might work for someone, but for someone else, they could feel sick and lethargic by eating those same foods. Some people feel better on a vegetarian diet full of plants and vegetables, but some people are always hungry and never feel satisfied on those programs. Now, there's a whole bunch of these garbage tests and questionnaires that you can take to try to determine if you should eat more carbs or protein, for example, but we recommend trial and error to find out what really works for you and makes you feel healthy and not deprived. So we suggest to start out with a basic diet of around 50% carbohydrates, 30% protein, and 20% fat. Stay on this diet for a few weeks and see how you feel. If you feel awesome, you found where you should be. Don't change anything. As long as you have a moderate caloric deficit every day, you will lose weight. If you want to experiment how you will feel by eating more protein, for example, well, you increase your protein by 10% and lower your carbohydrates by 10%. Continue to eat that same level of calories as you did before, and again, see how well you feel a few weeks later. The real difference in people seems to be how well they tolerate carbs and protein. So mainly play around with these ratios and you will do fine. Eventually, you're going to find out what really works for your own body.
You know, Jeff, percentages, awesome. But I think the most awesome thing I heard about in this email was she was going to do it over the next 12 months or so and not going to be doing it, trying to crash this weight off and trying to do it, you know, in 3 months. And, you know, it's just nice to, you know, that she's doing it right. And it's the way it's going to come off for sure.
That's right. And if you're really concerned about your health, this is what you're doing. You're not trying to just lose the weight as quick as you can.
Yep. And let's get on number 3 email here. And it is from Carrie. I'm at the point of desperation. I've battled my weight since I was 7 years old. I've had occasional success with Weight Watchers, but I'm now 33 years old, carrying 212 pounds on my 5'4" frame. I'm busy, I'm worn out, and I cannot seem to get a handle on my health. I'm starting to see some signs of diabetes and I'm scared. Anyway, I've listened to your radio show for a while now, but always thought I knew better. I was sure I couldn't eat the calories your show said I could. I'm figuring my base calories around 1750 and would love to try a week eating 1800 calories, but I'm scared. That's about 500 calories per day more than Weight Watchers allowed. My weight loss with them was slow, less than a half pound per week. So eating more seems like it would just slow me down more. Thank you, Carrie.
Well, Carrie, the first thing that I want to say is that it is the desperation that you mentioned that has damaged your metabolism. Your body isn't behaving normally right now. You should be losing weight quite quickly at those calorie levels, but it is behaving like you are in starvation mode and doing whatever it can to hold on to your fat. You said that you've been battling your weight since you were 7, so you are a typical long-term dieter, and you have probably been on countless low-calorie diets in your life. When you go on a diet, and I'm just guessing here, but I'm assuming that you do something that is extremely hard on your body. On the weeks when you're dieting, you're probably moody, constantly hungry, constantly tired, and eventually you just can't take it anymore and you give up. You'll probably feel ashamed about yourself, and to help cover up that feeling of guilt and all of that pent-up hunger, you're probably going to eat a lot more food than you even normally do and gain most of that weight back right away. Then you'll go a few more months being unhappy about how you look and feel until you reach another breaking point where you're totally disgusted about yourself again. Then you're going to go on yet another low-calorie diet and start the cycle over and over again. Now, this might not be you exactly, but it is for a large percentage of our new listeners, and when people say that they're desperate, this is generally what's going to happen to them. Now, you said that your basal metabolic rate is around 1,750 calories per day, and you were concerned about eating up to 1,800 calories. 1,750 is the level of calories that your body needs to survive if you were in a coma. This is the level that if you eat below it, it will guarantee that your body will go into starvation mode and do its absolute best to keep you alive by holding on to as much body fat as it can. For your age and height, I worked out the numbers, and when you are eating 1,200 calories, that is the level that you would need to eat to maintain your weight, get this, at around 35 to 40 pounds. Is that your goal? If you continued to eat 1,200 calories, you would technically eventually waste away to weigh around 40 pounds. You would die before you reach this level. That is why we say that you are on a starvation diet, because at those levels, you will eventually die because you're eating way too little. Your body thinks that you're going to die. It's just as simple as that. You have to eat more and convince your body that you aren't going to kill it. Then, and only then, with a moderate reduction in calories, will it start to release the fat stores again like it should be. Now, I'm going to try and oversimplify here and just give a rule of thumb. But the absolute lowest level you should ever eat is you take your basal metabolic rate and you multiply it by 1.2. In your case, this works out that you should never be eating below 2,100 calories right now, given your body weight. And let me tell you what would happen if you continued to eat 2,100 calories per day and exercised moderately for the rest of your life, not just for a few weeks or months. You are currently 5'4" and weigh 212 pounds. If you started today and started eating 2,100 calories a day for the rest of your life, those are the number of calories that someone your age and height will eat every day to maintain their weight at 130 pounds. All that you have to do is start eating 2,100 calories and eventually you will weigh 130 pounds. You don't have to worry about eating 1,200 calories. That's just crazy. Now, if anyone wants to check out these numbers for themselves, just go to the calculators over at fattofitradio.com. Just click on the tools link at the top right.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, it's when you put it like if you eat this number of calories, eventually you will die. It really puts a focus to it that, you know, you maybe didn't think about before.
Starvation diets, people say it's a starvation diet, but the outcome of a starvation diet is that you will eventually die, like I said. And people don't see it that way, just how unhealthy it is. If you live this lifestyle of the calories that you can eat for the rest of your life, you don't die. You just end up being at your goal weight for the rest of your life.
Yeah, people think, you know, oh, it's a starvation diet. Well, I'll just starve myself for a little while. Well, we've seen that. What happens? It's the yo-yo dieting. That's exactly what happens. You starve yourself for a while. When you go off the starvation diet, your body says, hey, I got calories again. More fat, because it's a lot easier to put on fat than it is to put on muscle.
All right, well, the next email here has to do with a problem that a lot of women complain about, and they get really desperate looking for these solutions as well.
Right, it's from Helen. She writes, hi there. I have some questions regarding cellulite. As you've already heard from many ladies out there, you just simply can't get rid of cellulite, whether you are big, thin, small, whatever your size. Creams don't work. Diets and exercise, marginal effects. I cycle 3 to 4 times a week. I'm 5'1", currently 115 pounds, heavier than my usual 105, but I could never seem to get rid of my cellulite. Last year, I've tried cycling 7 days a week for 4 weeks straight. Numerous other resistance training, etc., sauna, everything to get rid of cellulite, and that was in addition to my 1,200 calorie per day diet. Exercise, awesome for the entire body, but really marginal on cellulite. Are there any products, other than creams that don't work, that would supplement diet and exercise to minimize cellulite?
All right, here is the simple truth. There's almost nothing that you can do to get rid of the look of cellulite. Men and women can both have cellulite. The reason why women have more cellulite is because their skin is thinner. Everyone has a level of fat beneath their skin, and it is true that the more subcutaneous fat that you have, the likelihood of getting cellulite is higher. But cellulite technically is subcutaneous fat that pokes through the fibrous connective tissue that supports your skin. The only way to truly get rid of the look of cellulite would be to make the fibrous connective tissue that supports your skin thicker, and you simply can't do that. Having a large amount of fat isn't a guarantee that you will get cellulite, and being thinner isn't a guarantee that you won't get it either. Your genetics are the most important factor. Now, if you do have cellulite, losing fat will help with the appearance, but it most likely will never fully go away. The reality is, many people have cellulite. I would say that 40 to 50% of all female celebrities have cellulite. 100% of photos that you see celebrities in are manipulated to some extent before being published. That is just standard practice in the media to do things like color correction, etc., to every single picture. The unfortunate thing is that most people believe that all of these celebrities look like this in real life, but they really don't. And what happens is people try to live up to these unrealistic expectations, but they really don't look like this, so it's not even an expectation that a celebrity can live up to. People have to realize that everyone has a genetic potential, and you can still be happy and content when you are at the best that you genetically can be.
Now, of course, the cellulite is more predominant in women, for sure. But remember, those guys can get cellulite, too. So it's not just women who are having this problem, but they are more prone, women are, to getting the cellulite, unfortunately. But we're going to go on here to our last item. And actually, this last one is not actually a question from any one particular person. It's more of a conglomeration of many emails that we've received over the last couple weeks. And it's those individuals looking for that quick fix.
That's right. It appears that spring has sprung for many of our listeners. And in the last little while, we have received quite a number of emails from people who are really looking for the quick fat loss fixes. They all seem to have some sort of event, like a wedding or a graduation or a reunion, and they all tell us how much weight that they must lose in a certain number of days. Almost all of the emails also are telling us reasons why they must lose that weight in a certain amount of time. But when I boiled down all of these reasons lately that people gave us, it was really for narcissistic and egotistical reasons. They were embarrassed about their weight and didn't want people to see how they looked right now. Of all the people who are looking for this quick fix solution, nobody gave a reason that had anything to do with health. They all just had this air of desperation, just like one of those previous emails. So because we're having such a large group of people right now that are asking us for these ways to cheat and get rid of their weight, I'm just going to have to say that the bottom line is that there are no permanent quick fixes. In show number 65, we talked about advanced weight loss techniques. These are the things that you can do to speed up your weight loss, but they do take more work and dedication. So if you are interested in speeding up your weight loss safely, take a listen to show number 65 again. Now, those tips will help you out, but we simply won't suggest things that might speed up your weight loss for a few weeks, but will almost guarantee that you will gain all of that weight back. In weight loss, there are really just two basic choices. The first choice is that you can use some sort of stupid crash diet that will quickly get you to lose those 15 pounds for the wedding or whatever it is. Then next spring, when you have the next wedding, you can use that same crash diet again. And then later in the fall, when you have a reunion, you can use that same crash diet yet again for some other event, and over again. Now, the second choice is to simply start living the lifestyle right now of that thinner person that you want to become. You'll probably not reach your goal for whatever thing is coming up, but it will be the last thing that you will be overweight for. By living that lifestyle of that thinner person, you won't have to diet over and over and over again. The philosophy of the show is medium to long term. We simply don't care how much you're going to weigh in 3 days or 3 weeks. We care that you will reach your goal and then be able to report back year after year that you have maintained close to that goal weight. So this show, we're not going to give quick fixes, but hey, if you want this to be your last diet, this will work.
All right. Well, I would like to thank Kate and Amanda, Carrie and Helen, and all the other listeners for sending in those emails. Really appreciate it. If you'd like to get your comment or question to us, there are a few ways you can do that. The first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website, fattofitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, time for your favorite section and mine. It's the Web Report. Jeff, what do you have?
Well, the topic that I have this week, it's all about the FDA warning people against the use of these fat-busting injections. And we had a number of listeners who let us know about this one through email, and I'll leave some links in the show notes, but the main site is lipotreatmentfacts.org, and this will link to all of the FDA warnings, etc. And it appears that this treatment is becoming popular in the U.S., and it's commonly known as lipodissolve. And it's being marketed as an easier and safer way of liposuction. There's other similar names to it, but the basic procedure is to inject a combination of chemicals into a person with the belief that over several sessions and possibly thousands of dollars, it will melt fat away in the areas of the injections. So what it's claiming is that it will spot reduce fat. And this is an American story, but I even saw it in the Canadian news because the FDA in the United States is jumping right in and fighting back to stop this procedure. According to the FDA, this is an illegal product because when you inject things into people, it moves into the category of a drug. And drugs have to be regulated and proved safe and effective before you're allowed to, you know, put them into people. The FDA has released a warning statement to the public that there is no evidence to prove that these treatments have any effect whatsoever on reducing fat, and there's no proof of safety for use in humans, and there's no standards at all for these drugs. The FDA is currently ordering spas that are offering lipodissolve treatments to stop immediately. In their letters to those spas, which have been released, the FDA is outright saying that these spas are making false and misleading statements about the effectiveness and safety of this lipodissolve. What the treatment is trying to do is inject chemicals that come from the human body that are thought to reduce fat. They extract these chemicals, which are part of a metabolic pathway somewhere, and then mix them together with other chemicals and inject them back into somebody's fat. This is something that just may prove to be able to melt fat in the future, but just like any other of these thousands of weight loss products, until you can prove it, it is most likely just a waste of time and money. It's simply a new quick fix promise for fat loss just like any other. And I just think it's great that the FDA is moving in so quickly to stop it because desperate people will try anything to lose weight.
Yeah, when you mentioned spa, I immediately thought of these chemical wraps. You know, they'll kind of spread a gel or some kind of lotion on your body and then wrap you up for and a half an hour. And then, but of course, they'll measure you before and after and you'll miraculously lose inches in a half an hour just by putting some schmear on your body.
Well, I guess people do this all the time and they lose weight, you know, throughout that hour or two and they gain it all back the next day. But the FDA is saying that if you start injecting things that can have serious effects and harm people, they're just not going to allow that to happen until it's proven safe. You can wrap people up in warm blankets all you want and put cream on them and claim that it's going to help reduce fat, but we all know it's not true. But drugs, they're just a little scary. So Russ, what do you have for us this week?
Well, I've got an article here. I'm actually going to link to two of them. The one I was more interested in here was called Rats Starve Rather Than Eat Healthy Food. Scientists at Scripps, Florida have been studying the effects of junk food on the brains of rats. Now, they had two groups of rats. One group was given healthy food, while the second was given junk food. Actually, a limitless supply of junk food, the kind that you would find at your local supermarket. They gave them high-sugar foods like ding-dongs, frosting, and cheesecake, as well as other high-fat foods like bacon and sausage. Now, also, when they ate these junk foods, they were given an electrical shock. Even that wasn't enough to keep them away from those junk foods. Now, what they found is junk foods alter the brain's chemistry by releasing dopamine that would normally be released while having sex, snorting cocaine, or eating a rich dessert, just like they were, said the scientists. The junk food addicted rats learned that the easiest way to experience pleasure was by eating high-calorie, high-fat food. Now, later they started giving the junk food junkie rats some good food, and they stopped eating altogether. They would rather starve than eat the good food. They were totally addicted to that high-fat, high-calorie food. Now, obviously, we're not rats, but a similar reaction could be happening in our brains when we eat these types of food. It just makes sense. That's why they use rats as kind of an analog for humans, because we tend to react at least a small amount similar. So it was very unpopular when I mentioned it, but I tend to think that addiction by in the way of food is often a lot harder than addiction by way like say of cocaine, because you can stop cocaine and live, but you can't stop eating and live, and that makes it so much harder. You have to eat the thing that you're addicted to. You have to keep on it, but you have to curb yourself and just have discipline, and that is makes it, I think, a harder addiction to actually overcome.
That's true. I agree with that as well. And when you were talking about how the rats refused to eat the good food and only wanted to eat the junk food, there's this theory with parenting when they say you should allow your children to choose whatever they want to eat. You can provide them with junk food and lots of fruits and vegetables, and they will eat whatever their body craves. That's just garbage, because they will eat the highest fat, the higher sugar foods that for them taste the best. In reality, it doesn't really work that way. It does take strong parenting. And for adults, it takes dedication. And yes, it takes time of eating healthy, natural foods to get a taste for them as well. They're not as sweet as the sugary things.
Yeah, have you ever seen a six-year-old boy who just had a nice big candy bar, big chunk of solid sugar candy? Eyes start dilating and they're all moving around. It's like they're on cocaine. So I can totally believe this study completely.
Well, Russ, let's move on to our feature section. And this week, we are talking about reasons to exercise. Back in the summer, Time magazine did an article that you don't need to exercise to lose weight or be healthy, and we really cut that to pieces. Well, this week, we're going to give a list of well over 100 reasons to exercise.
Yeah, no, this list is going to have things like internal changes to your body, some external physical changes, mental, as well as overall fitness, but it's just a comprehensive list of any reason why you want to exercise. And so, Jeff, did you make this list up all on your own?
Well, there's a lot of books that will list common ways to exercise. I found a couple and I combined them together. There was one book in particular that I found that had a list of over 100 reasons to exercise. So what we did is we gathered up all the reasons we could find, put them in categories, made this huge list. And the goal of going through this list is so that if you're thinking of exercising and you're kind of wavering about going to the gym today or going for a walk, well, maybe 20 or 30 or 40 of our reasons to exercise might actually resonate with you, and you'll be more inclined to go out and exercise. So this is designed to be motivational as well. And a lot of these reasons, they are true, but you might not have thought about them in the past.
All right, so we have a lot to go here, so let's start. And the first ones we're going to talk about here are the physical changes, the external, or do you look better because of exercise? And the first one is It improves your body shape.
And it tones and firms your muscles.
It provides more muscle definition.
It increases muscle size by increasing muscle fibers.
It helps alleviate varicose veins.
It increases the efficiency of your sweat glands.
It improves your body's overall composition.
It also increases your body density.
It decreases your body's fat tissue more easily.
And it makes your clothes look better on you.
All right, so as well, there's a lot of internal changes. And actually, that was actually very few external ones. I was surprised at the list when I started categorizing these. I found a lot more internal changes. And the first one is it improves your digestion.
And it improves your circulation and helps lower blood pressure.
It alters and improves muscle chemistry.
And it alters the way that your body uses calories.
It improves your body's storage of glycogen.
It enables your body to use nutrients more effectively.
It increases the number and size of mitochondria in each muscle cell.
And it strengthens your bones.
It increases the concentration of myoglobin, which carries oxygen in the skeletal muscles.
It enhances oxygen transport throughout the body.
It improves your liver function.
It increases the speed of muscle contraction and therefore reaction time.
It enhances feedback through the nervous system.
And it strengthens your heart.
It improves blood flow through the body.
It increases the maximum cardiac output because of an increase in stroke volume.
It increases the contractility of the heart's ventricles.
It increases the weight of the heart.
It increases the heart size.
It improves contractile function of the entire heart.
It makes calcium transport in the heart and the entire body more efficient.
And it helps prevent heart disease.
It increases the level of HDL.
And it decreases the LDL, the low-density lipoprotein.
It decreases your cholesterol.
And it decreases triglycerides.
It increases total hemoglobin, which carries oxygen in the red blood cells.
And it increases the blood's alkaline reserve. This is known as the buffering capacity.
It improves the body's ability to remove lactic acid.
And it also improves the ventilation of the alveoli for greater oxygen consumption.
And it lessens your sensitivity to the buildup of CO2.
And it improves bone metabolism.
And finally here, it improves the development and strength of connective tissue.
Well, now we're going to move on to a few more reasons that have to do with your mental abilities. And the first thing that exercise is noted for is it increases your self-confidence and your self-esteem.
And it lifts your spirits.
It reduces tension and stress.
It enables you to relax more quickly and completely.
It's well known to alleviate depression.
And it improves emotional stability.
It also enhances the clarity of your mind.
And it just makes you feel good.
It also increases your positive attitude about yourself and your life.
Increases the level of hormone norepinephrine, which boosts your spirits.
And it enables you to meet new friends and develop fulfilling relationships.
It enables you to socialize at the same time that you are getting into shape.
And it helps you move past self-imposed limitations.
It gives you a greater appreciation for life because you feel better about yourself.
And it gives you a greater desire to participate 100% in life, to take more risks as a result of increased confidence and self-esteem.
It gives you a feeling of control or mastery over your life and the belief that you can create any reality that you want.
And it also stimulates and improves concentration.
It gets your mind off irritations.
It stimulates a feeling of well-being and accomplishment.
It increases the body's awareness of itself.
And it reduces or prevents boredom.
It enables you to move from left brain to right brain thinking.
And it can change the electrical activity in the brain from beta to alpha waves.
It increases your ability to solve problems more easily and often effortlessly.
It gives you a clearer perspective on ideas, issues, problems, and challenges.
It releases blockages and limitations in thinking.
And it reduces illness.
It helps you live longer.
Makes you feel better each and every day.
Makes you feel more alive in your spirit.
Makes people look at you and say, wow, you look great.
Yeah, that's it for the mental. Now we've got some ones that I've categorized here as non-weight. These are ones that just make you feel more healthy. And the first one is it helps you sleep better.
And it gives you more energy.
Exercise adds a healthy glow to your complexion.
And it strengthens your immune system.
It also improves your appetite for healthy food.
And it alleviates menstrual cramps in women.
It improves your coordination and balance.
And it improves your posture.
Exercise eases and may eliminate back problems and pain.
And it helps you to respond more effectively to heat, since sweating begins at a lower body temperature.
It also helps your body become more agile.
And it alleviates constipation.
It reduces joint discomfort.
And it increases your range of motion.
And exercise will bring color to your cheeks.
And it's a wonderful way to enjoy nature and the great outdoors.
It also increases your awareness of your gait.
So now we're going to move on to more reasons to exercise, that now this is dealing with your overall fitness level. And first of all, it will make you more limber and flexible.
And it builds strength.
And it improves your endurance.
Exercise will lower your resting heart rate.
It improves the body's ability to decrease heart rate after exercise.
It will increase the number of capillaries that are open during exercise as opposed to when at rest.
And it will improve blood flow to the active muscles at the peak of training.
Exercise enhances the function of your cardiovascular system.
And it also enhances the function of the cardiorespiratory system.
Exercise improves efficiency in breathing.
It also increases respiratory capacity.
It improves breathing in that less ventilation is required per liter of oxygen consumption.
And it decreases the chance of developing osteoporosis.
Exercise lowers your risk of death from cancer.
It also improves resistance to infectious diseases.
Exercise enhances neuromuscular relaxation.
And it enables you to stay warmer in colder environments.
Exercise stimulates the release of hormones that alleviate pain.
And it also increases the efficiency at which adrenaline is used, resulting in more energy.
Exercise enables you to enjoy all types of physical activities more.
And it makes it easier to exercise consistently because you like the way you look and feel and don't want to lose it.
It will also improve your athletic performance.
And with improved athletic performance, it also enhances sexual performance.
Wow. It'll improve the whole quality of your life.
And it helps you live longer and better, giving you an extra hour of life for every hour of exercise.
And it is the greatest tune-up for your body.
And it invigorates the body and mind.
And finally, the last one here in our overall fitness category is, it affords you the opportunity to experience your fullest potential.
Now we're going to move on to the category that most people think exercise is only good for, and these are the weight loss reasons. And first of all, exercise does burn up extra calories.
Exercise helps you to lose weight and keeps you at your right body weight.
It also increases lean muscle tissue in your body.
Exercise increases your metabolic rate.
And increases the enzymes in the body that burn fat.
And finally here, it decreases your appetite when you work out for 20 minutes to an hour. Now, Jeff, that was an extremely short section there of kind of the weight loss items in that category. I was really surprised when I looked at this list. I went through and categorized them all. I'm like, there is so few that are actually weight-related. There is so much more that you can get out of exercise than just losing weight.
Yeah, it was only maybe 3 or 4% of all of these reasons had to do with weight loss. And a lot of people only start exercising when they're trying to lose weight, and they don't realize of all of these hundreds of other benefits that they get throughout their entire body and their entire life. Now, this list I adapted from a book called Living the Good Life, Your Guide to Health and Success. And believe it or not, I actually went back to a gym and joined a gym. Yeah, I was working out in the basement, but, you know, really, I am just a gym rat, and I missed the wide variety of exercises and everything about a gym. So, yeah, I went back and joined a gym. And this is one of the free books that we got when you joined a gym. So there's a lot of good information in it, and I will leave a link in the show notes if anyone's interested in purchasing this, because there's a lot of great stuff, just like this huge list of reasons to exercise. So having said all these reasons to exercise, Russ, that made me hungry. So what do you have this week for the recipe of the week?
Well, Jeff, I'm dedicating this recipe this week to listener Steve. Steve sent us an email and this week, and he was talking about chicken, and I just got me hungry for some chicken. So this one is for chicken capri. I found this recipe over at fatsecret.com, and it is actually a recipe from the South Beach diet. And it mentions here that it's great for the phase one of the South Beach diet. And it basically is chicken and tomatoes and it's a little bit of mozzarella cheese and a lot of great ingredients like garlic powder, oregano, black pepper, salt, some olive oil. And, you know, pair this with a vegetable and a salad, and you've got a great dinner. So really, check this one out. This looks like something actually your kids will eat. It looks really good. So that's the Chicken Capri for listener Steve.
And that's a really good thing that you said about your kids will even eat this. Doesn't matter how healthy it is if you can't make people eat it.
Exactly. It doesn't do any good if it's going to go in the trash can afterward. But Jeff, what is our homework for this week?
Well, after this long list of reasons to exercise, and we listed well over 100 reasons, the homework this week is to choose the top 10 reasons that are most meaningful for you and will motivate you to continue or start exercising. If you truly don't feel there is a need to exercise, then we challenge you to come up with a list of more than 100 or 125 reasons why you don't think exercise is beneficial for you, if you can.
All right. In the next show, we'll read that one to you as well, right?
That's right.
Good. So, Jeff, what is our quote for this week?
Well, the quote this week comes from Jesse Jackson, and he said, "If my mind can conceive it and my heart can believe it, I know I can achieve it."
All right. Thanks, Jeff. That's great. And thank you, everyone, for participating in the show. Check out the show notes for any of the information we talked about today. We will have a link to a Google Doc where you can check out this comprehensive list of reasons to exercise. If you don't have to remember it, you don't have to write them down, you can just go to the Google Doc and check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes. And with that, we will talk to you next time in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.
And alleviates menstrual cramps.
I didn't know you had menstrual cramps, Jeff. I'm sorry about that.